Okay.
Okay. So we'll call the meeting to order at 5:45. And roll call, Sean Giese.
Here.
Wilma Kominick here. Stacy Kirkland, absent. Jason Ingram.
Here.
And Randy Collier, absent. We'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Does everybody have a flag or should I put it up?
We have one.
We have one. Okay. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
liberty, and justice for all. I was making sure Terry was.
So we don't need everybody all this time, or do we?
Four.
Everybody's here.
For the voting?
Yeah.
I know, we can just do it because everyone's a person. We have to
vote. Mass are, baby.
Yeah. Approval of the agenda?
I motion to approve. Second.
Second by Sean. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda? Any questions or comments on any of the consent agenda items? No? Good. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I didn't hear who made the motion in the second. I'm sorry.
I was first, Jason second.
Thank you.
Any public comments? We don't have anyone here. Well, we do.
These guys might have something to say.
Yeah. Does anybody have public comments?
No.
Okay. Reports. Any reports from board members? No. How about the executive director report, Sherry?
Yeah. You have my report, and I just wanted to highlight a couple things, though. First was I was going to talk to you about the applications. Thank you very much. And then we are beginning to have conversations with other vendors for the third-party back office support. We're definitely, the turnover that has happened has left me and Elle with very little confidence in their ability. I spoke with our auditor this week about the possibility of making a change, and he said I would, because he has a level of concern with the turnover, because every person that's worked on our account now is gone, even the assistant, which was, am I really going to draw a blank on her name? Lillian just left, and she's been with us for years as the second in command over there. And it doesn't give me a sense of confidence that things are being done right. I'm spending a significant amount of time having to review every single thing. And my concern when I do retire is to have a financial group that can really provide a good level of support and keep us in good compliance.
So I actually did have a question about that on the, where we were redoing the policy. So we were using DMS, mm-hmm. And now
we're still using them.
Okay.
Back office provider.
Okay, so the third party back office provider is staff?
It's DMS or whoever else we hire.
Okay, got it.
So no. Instead of having the company's name, just a general category.
Okay, I understand.
I will ask DMS to quote it anyway. But I've asked EdTech to come at our next meeting and make a presentation to you so you can see what they're about.
Okay. And so are we going to go to DMS and ask them? I mean, are we paying them to have a person to perform this function for us?
We are paying them currently.
Right.
Our contract with them ends at the end of this school year.
Okay.
I don't know if I answered your question, Wilma. I'm not sure.
No, I'm just, so are we talking about like holding their feet to the fire, or are we talking about, since they're not coming through, looking at hiring a different company to do just that portion?
It would be as of July 1 that a change would happen. But you really do need several months before to let that transition happen, because it's never easy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay.
So no, I'm holding their feet to the fire. They're doing it. But like I said, my level of confidence is not there for the future.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. So anything else on your report, Sherry? No?
No, not that I thought was significant.
Okay, thank you. And then, it's not quite six yet, so let's go to item 6D, the program reports submitted in writing from the different campuses, the special programs, counseling, adult education, and safety. I always enjoy looking at those, and they're just getting better and better every time. I love the competition.
I think that was the best thing, you know? Yep. They're looking good. I agree with you.
Yeah. And I was planning to be at the open house ice cream social at Thompson Peak, but the weather didn't cooperate for me that day, so I didn't make it, but it looked like it turned out really well.
It was nice. Can I just say real quick, thank you all for your support and backing. I think the morale at Thompson Peak between everybody is just really high right now, because we really feel like we have a place and it's great. So thank you everybody for all that hard work making that happen.
Great. That's great. Any other comments on any of the program reports? Nope. Okay, let's move on to the soil report results for the Doyle property then.
Okay, can I just say, I sent you some things in the first packet, and then I sent you another soil report that was more of the final report. Those guys said that was probably the worst soil they've ever seen in their lives, right where we want to put the foundation of our new gymnasium.
Oh.
Isn't that nice? So they're working with engineering now to maybe do something different on the actual construction to make up for that. Or what they may need to do is dig out 4 feet of dirt, bring it over. They talked about switching the dirt that is just behind the basketball courts. And moving that dirt over and kind of doing that switcheroo, that would then satisfy them, because that soil's good. But the area that we're looking at is just not great.
What's wrong with the soil? It's mushy?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's underneath the grass. Right under the grass. And they did it in the summertime when we're irrigating.
Right.
So of course it's going to be wet.
So did you send out something separate? Because I thought the first one I read said it was okay.
The soil
from the NST or whoever it was.
Right. But then in the second packet, there was a, I'm just looking to see. Yeah, from page 89 to 115, which was the second group of pages I sent, was a more comprehensive report. So Nick's working with the engineer and saying what we can do. They said we may be tapping into some of the funds that are set aside for anything unforeseen. because it's probably going to cost some money to move that dirt.
And then, so there's no option of putting it in the spot where we already know the dirt's okay, or we don't know that for sure?
No, you can't, because where the dirt is okay is right at the basketball
court. Oh, behind it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we want that location for.
I know we do want that, but.
Yeah, the access from the parking lot is what's good on that, right? So.
Okay.
And then B, if you don't mind, Wilma, just announcing to everybody that they have openings for Fort Sage board for a Herlong rep and a Doyle rep. And so if anybody knows anybody that might wish to serve in that capacity, they're looking. And I said I would share that and announce it publicly. So there it is.
Who's left on their board?
I thought they still have Aaron Reed and Ryan Von Inns and
Connie.
And
Pam Alt.
Pam Alt.
I'm not sure if Aaron's on there anymore.
Oh, do you think she might have left?
Uh-huh.
Mike Everett's gone too?
Yep.
Oh, long time.
Okay.
So I let her know that I suggested to her that they could not have, or Heather, their business manager, contacted me. And she thought maybe one of you would be willing to do it from the board. And I said she might want to talk to their attorney, but I was pretty sure there was a conflict by doing that. And the attorney came back and said, yes, that there would be. So just if you know somebody.
Okay. Let's see. Item C, the CDE special education review of the small LEAs.
Yes. So Department of Ed finally realized that they cannot review special ed services for small districts like they do large districts. We function very differently. So it's not anything that we've been penalized for. It's just a new rollout that they're doing. So it's a cyclical process every 3 years. So Lassen County, I think, has 5 or 6 schools that are in this first round. So we have different steps throughout the year that we have to complete. This first one is the policy and procedure, which you'll see later on the agenda for an action item. Then I'll look at IEPs and we review some stuff, and then later in the spring there'll be another component. So they're kind of working the kinks out as we go along, so some of the deadlines have been pretty tight. But at least next year, if we get picked for, we could be picked again for Long Valley or Thompson Peak, at least next year we'll know what the process looks like and should go a little smoother. So
right. This is what necessitated our changing the meeting date.
Yeah.
Because, go ahead.
I was going to say, we have to submit all of the policy and procedure paperwork by Monday, end of day business. So thank you for being flexible on meeting tonight, because.
But we were notified 2 weeks ago of this December 5th deadline.
With a week off.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Right.
Yes. Got it. Okay, it looks like DMS is coming on, so we'll go back to
item. And I can just say, Stephanie, because the office was closed, the presentation by the Thompson Peak students is going to be delayed till next month.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Genevieve, are you there?
We can't hear you, Genevieve.
Sorry, I'm logging in. I'll be right there.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
Here I am. Good evening, everyone. Is it my turn?
It is.
Yes.
Okay.
It was good timing.
Oh, great. Well, hope everyone's doing okay. I get to do the first interim budget presentation to all of you. Is it possible to share screen, Sherry?
Yep.
Okay, terrific. Let me just get this over here. Well, I'm going to assume all of you have a packet, so I will not go verbatim here, and I will take us through this as quickly as and simply as possible. But we're obviously required to do a first interim budget at this time. So this is what I will be covering with you, starting with Long Valley School. For Long Valley, first of all, we want to start with letting you know that we are projecting a decrease in enrollment in ADA to the tune of 15 for your enrollment and 14.1 for your ADA. And in your packet, you have all the different synopses of the different categories of your income statement and the reasons for the increases or decreases. And this is obviously at your fingertips. I will do likewise, but I'm going to take us straight to the income statement, which will then elaborate on these items as default. This is the income statement for Long Valley School. And here is the enrollment that I just mentioned. We had projected in July 260, and at this time we're going down to 245, as well as the ADA has to be adjusted accordingly. As a result, the LCFF calculator will then take that into consideration, and hence you will see the impact of that drop right here, primarily in this number, general purpose entitlement. There's a little bit of effect in federal, not a whole lot. The biggest jump here you're going to see is in other state revenues, which I need to go into in a little bit more detail because this is something that is unique for this particular budget. You may recall that back in July, there were some estimates done for things that may come up. And at that time, all the schools were doing an estimate based on a certain rate that was recommended at that time. At this time though, we do have the actual numbers. And so for Long Valley specifically, that has actually been about close to $200,000 higher than was estimated previously in the July budget. Now, as I understand it from your agenda, I'm also to talk about the September, but actually the year-to-date actuals that we have in this column, just to give you a flavor as to where you stand, is as of October and probably a little bit more. So this column right here, you can tell where you're at in your actual numbers. This is your July budget, and this is what we're projecting for your first interim. So having said that, the interesting thing about the new revenues that we have this year, we have on some of them 2 years to spend it, some of them 4 years, and one of them 6 years. However, based on the accounting treatment of this, and I know I'm getting a little bit probably too technical than we need to, but it's important to understand, we have to recognize all of that revenue all in this year. And so the result of that is going to filter down to your bottom line. So in essence, the 200,000-ish that we had already underestimated as of July is going to be implemented into this number here. You also have the community school partnership program that has been granted to Long Valley School. That amounts to 200,000, and that also has to be recognized this year. So the combination of that drop in enrollment, which affected your revenue to some degree, and the increases based on the one-time fundings, which is your pre-K, your arts and music, and one other one, as well as your community schools, is what is affecting your growth, if you will, in your revenue over your July budget to the tune of $413,000. So that's important to recognize that this is not a function of your drop in enrollment. It is a function of the one-time fundings that you are receiving in this school year and that we also have to recognize.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
The 493, the majority of that is restricted funds. Is that correct?
Yes, you're okay. Correct on that.
Mm-hmm. And so the 63 and the 16 are general fund, correct?
Your 63 is primarily almost all of it unrestricted. The majority of your federal is going to be restricted as well. That's okay. Like your title funds, your ESSERs, little bits here and there.
So the increase of 413 really doesn't affect anything unrestricted. It's all money that's set aside for specific issues.
Yes, okay. That is correct. That is correct. The majority of that is all unrestricted. So they're all being put in these little buckets that we have specific numbers for in each of those categories in your restricted funds. So you are absolutely correct.
Thank you.
When we get down to our expenditures, however, we are projecting what we normally would for the year, not considering necessarily all of the future year funding, because that's not going to happen this year. In your salaries in particular, as you will also note in your narratives prior to this particular page, your salaries are dropping by about $34,000. And that is a function of your drop in enrollment, as well as some realignment of your staffing between the two schools. So these three numbers here reflect the decrease in your salary budget between July and the first interim. These other two numbers, again, is a response to the drop in your enrollment. So we've taken down your supply budget and your services and operation budget by a little bit. However, when we get to this other outgo, this is our estimated interest expense for the property that is coming up also this year. Taking all of that into consideration, the total drop in your expenses is $42,000 between first interim right here and what you had approved back in July. I wanted to show the bottom line in a different manner, just so that we keep this in the back of our minds and not to get confused in regard to the one-time funds that we have to recognize in this year. So in order to do that, you will see three bottom lines here. This one up here is if you had not received any of the three new fundings as well as the community schools program. So had that not happened, you would have had a net profit of $133,000 with everything else staying the way it is. Because the community grants program is separate from the estimates that we had made in July, the $200,000, I've made that a separate bottom line as well. So putting that into consideration with just that addition, your bottom line will be $233,000. And then adding the three new fundings that we've already talked about brings you to what we are reflecting in your first interim budget, which is a profit of $648,000. So breaking that down will hopefully help you understand the components of that bottom line rather than just seeing one number and trying to piecemeal it. So this is a reflection of your Long Valley School. And I wanted to see if there are any questions in regards to that before I go on to the following pages.
So basically your 455 is your 413. And your reduced expenditures of 42 added together.
That is correct.
And the majority of that is restricted. We can't use that for anything but what it's made for.
Yes. However, your expenses, part of that is also going to be restricted. So there's right. A correlation to some degree to the funds that you would recognize in this year alone. So if you took those new fundings, 1 year of it should be, in the ideal world, spent this year and maximized as much as possible. Hence, your expenses are going to reflect that activity.
Gotcha.
Okay, let me continue then. The following pages, which I won't go into detail unless you have questions, are the breakdown by what we call object codes or specific categories, so that you can see what the July budget was that you had approved, where it stands as of October, what we have budgeted in the first interim, and the difference between the two by every single line item that your school is utilizing, both in your revenues as well as your expenses. What this does not do for you, though, is break it out between unrestricted and restricted. So I'm going to skip that unless you have any specific questions. I will go on to, we talked about the enrollment and your ADA assumptions. Again, these are just our projections for the following 2 years, because we're required to do a multi-year projection. And in order to do that, we do have to come up with some idea as to where we think enrollment ADA will be in the following 2 years. And assuming these enrollment and ADA numbers for the two following years, you will then have your projected income statement. Now, let me also say that in your future years, in these 2 years, we are not including those one times anymore because we have reflected it here. Therefore, your revenues are going to drop back down as a result. And you can see here, however, that you are still in the positive, assuming the growth in your enrollment for the following 2 years. Any questions on this?
So we lost 15. Why are we projecting increased enrollment in the next 2 years?
So that's my doing. And the USDA is allowing us to add two classrooms with the idea that we would increase our enrollment. Okay. So at this point, we're sticking with that plan. And that's why it's built into there.
Thank you, Sharon.
Okay. You've always had a healthy fund balance, cash position, and here it's reflecting the same. At the end of this school year, we are projecting 2.9 million, just under 3 million, which gives you 298 days cash on hand. So you are still in a very good position in your cash. So your first year here is broken down by month, so you can kind of see what's going on, as well as the following year, where we're required to do 2 years of cash flow projections. And likewise, with the year after, our projections bring you to 3.3 million at days cash on hand of 327. And that is the synopsis for Long Valley. Any questions? If not, I'm going to proceed with Thompson Peak. Likewise, the narrative is there, and I'll cover that in detail as we go through the income statement, but this basically gives you a basic idea as to what is happening with your Thompson Peak budget. Similarly, with Thompson Peak, we are projecting a drop in your enrollment in ADA to a higher number than Long Valley, a total of 22 in your enrollment, which calculates out to 21.12 ADA. Once again, the LCFS calculator will take that into consideration, and you have a greater drop in your revenues as a result of this. Your federal didn't change much. And in the case of Thompson Peak, we had underestimated your one times back in July by roughly 100,000, which is right there. Now, Thompson Peak will not be getting that community school program grant. Therefore, you don't see it in the school's revenues as you did with Long Valley's. In the expenses, likewise, it's a response to the drop that we have projected in your enrollment. However, your salaries did go up because two things happened. The majority of it was due to filling in a couple of vacancies that were not there previously. And likewise, there was some allocation of staffing between the two schools. So this time you will see an increase in your salaries between your July budget and your first interim. However, we have also reduced your supplies and your other services as a response to this drop. We have also calculated estimated interest expense on the new property, which we needed to include for the first interim budget. So once again, I broke out the bottom line so that you can see the components of it. Without the new grants, your bottom line would have been a net profit of $54,000. You do not have a community schools grant on this school, so it's zero. It's going to stay the same. And then with your one-time revenues that we have to recognize in full this year, brings you to what we will be reflecting, the $307,000 profit for your first interim budget. Any questions on this? Okay. Again, here's the detail to it. By every line item that this school utilizes, and you can take a look at that at your own convenience. Similarly, we are having to reflect what our projected enrollment and ADA would be for Thompson Peak in order to project your multi-year numbers. In your multi-year, once again, we have removed the one-time revenues because they will not be happening in the future years. Hence, you will see a drop in your net revenues as a result. However, it is still positive, so that's good news. And as you continue to build up your enrollment, your net revenues will do likewise. And you continue to have a healthy fund balance as well in Thompson Peak, which we project at the end of the school year to be 1.2 million, just under 1.3 days on cash, 222, which is a very good place to be. And moving that forward one more year with the numbers that we have projected, we estimate you will be at 1.4 million at 242 days cash on hand for Thompson Peak. And that brings us to the end of your first interim budget items. Any questions?
Sherry, I have the same question for Thompson Peak on the increase in enrollment.
Mm-hmm. You know, Sean, just before the drop that happened with COVID, we were in the 160s at Thompson Peak.
Okay.
So my assumption is as life gets back to normal, those numbers will pick up. Stephanie has already told me that it looks like she's got a waiting list coming over from the high school now as the semester is coming to a close and grades are coming out. So I thought that was not a bad estimate right now.
Okay, go get them, Stephanie. Bring them in.
I had a couple of things I wanted to say. I just, for everybody's benefit, budgeting goes in this cycle. We do our best guess for July 1. That's where the initial budget starts. We call the July budget. Then we are required by law to take the numbers from July 1 to October 31 and do what's called the first interim budget. Now we have new numbers, new estimates, and we make an adjustment. And we'll do it again in March.
That's correct. I was just going to say you'll get one more round
right,
this
right. And they call that the second interim budget. So you're just making adjustments as the picture gets clearer and clearer.
Yes.
The other thing I want to say is You know, I think it's great that we have a fund balance so healthy, but I'm going to say that that has, I have a little concern with that, because the state can come along and say, wow, look at all the money you're building. We don't need to fund you at that same rate. We can fund you maybe at 80% of what we pay the other schools because you don't need it. So next month, I intend to bring you something new to approve where we're actually committing some of those funds. So when we show the state, we can show those restricted resources are being held for those purposes. So we can show things like, you know, we're having to put more money in for the construction, you know, and kind of carve out some pieces to really show what we're doing with that money, that it's all not just cash sitting there with no purpose.
Okay, that sounds good. Is there any other questions for Genevieve? Great, thank you.
Thanks, Genevieve.
Thank you very much. I don't see you before then. Happy holidays.
Take Bye-bye. Care. Thanks.
And so you said the presentation by Thompson Peak students will be at the next meeting. So we can move on to the action items.
Yep.
Discussion and possible action regarding approval of the first interim budget. Comments, questions? Okay. Sean makes a motion, seconded by Jason.
Thank you.
All in favor? Aye. Any nays? No. So that passed. Action item B, discussion and possible action regarding approval of adding PT permanent
full-time. Part-time, full-time, sorry. Either, whatever we can find.
Mental health counselor, therapist to support all locations, and a part-time janitor / maintenance position for Thompson Peak.
Move to approve as written.
I think it's a great idea.
Did you hear that, Sherry?
I heard Sean and then
Sean and Jason second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved. Item C, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the updated fiscal policy.
I didn't see this in the packet. I must have missed it.
It was in the second packet. And all that got changed, two things. We made every place it said DMS was changed to the back office provider. And we added what was not in there. It said you always had to have a receipt. We added a document that you attest that you've lost the receipt, because sometimes we just lose a receipt on occasion. So we add.
Okay.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the updated policy.
Second
by Sean. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved. Item D, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the plan to get bids for the E-rate category 2 funds. The category 2 covers approximately 80% of the costs. I saw that was for Doyle and Thompson Peak, right? Yeah.
Make a motion to approve. I'll second.
First by Sean and second by Jason.
Got it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item E, discussion and possible action regarding approval of special education local plan area procedural manual.
It's a mouthful.
I'll move to approve.
Yeah.
I'll second the mouthful.
Okay. Did you hear those, Sherry?
I did. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. F, discussion and possible action regarding approval of the opioid
antagonist
policy.
Yeah.
5012.
somebody briefly explain the opioid?
You bet.
Policy
from the state.
So, you know, with the opioid epidemic, there's a lot of youth and adults overdosing.
Yeah.
There is something called an opioid antagonist, which is a nasal spray. So if somebody passes out, you can give it to a person and it will immediately turn around that effect in the body.
And teachers can administer this legally?
So really, the state is so into having this available, because especially for teenagers who are at school, right? They could have this overdose and pass out at our school.
Mm-hmm.
So they, now what the policy says is that we'll ask for volunteers on who wants to get trained. And then we'll just have specific people that would be our go-to person. What they have said is that when you give this to somebody, and let's say I don't have any idea why you passed out, I can give that to you and there's no harm to you if it's not an opioid overdose. But if it is, in fact, they talked about that people will actually, and Katie, I know you're still sitting there. Katie's done some of the training already in preparation. Are you still there with us, Katie?
She's muted.
Yes, I'm here.
You want to add anything to this?
Training is pretty simple to watch, and it goes through and shows exactly what you're to do. It shows the symptoms to look for. And if you don't know of any symptoms with them, if you just find them passed out, like Sherry said, it will not hurt them to administer it. And then it gives you guidelines to stay with them, to call 911. It lays out everything simply for people to feel confident in using it. And the training is available even through the Vector classes that we take, the trainings that we take at the beginning of the year. They offer a class as well. And I think it's 17 minutes long. And it has all the information that the state requires for someone to be able to help someone. For schools already, we do have the naloxone. Every school has received it.
How many staff do we plan on training at each location? Let's just say we only train one and they're not there that day. Are we going
to? Then we're not going to be able to use it.
Oh, so, okay. So we won't have a backup person that could administer it?
You know what? I can't believe that we won't have a couple at each location,
okay.
But if
okay.
we only have one. So my intention would be for a 17-minute video. If everyone wanted to get trained, we train everyone.
Okay.
But I'm not forcing it on people to do that.
And then is there some specific thing of where we stored this nasal spray, or how does that work?
Katie?
We are working on that right now. I'm doing some research to find out how we store it. And we're going to have a procedure plan for every school so that they will know exactly where to find it and how to utilize it.
Okay.
Thank you for all the questions. The state's been talking about this to us for over a year. And what finally pushed us to maybe make this consideration is the state, the California Department of Health, actually put out an order to say, here, school, you can use this order and order the drug. Usually that's one of the complications, is getting a prescription. But they made a very general, here it is, schools, use it and go forward.
Okay.
I move to approve the policy.
Mm-hmm. I'll say.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item G, discussion and possible action regarding approval of updated enrollment capacity.
Move to approve. I'll say.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. H, discussion and possible action regarding approval of updated certified salary schedule due to the increase in the minimum wage effective January 1st of 23.
I move to approve. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Item I, discussion and possible action regarding approval of grading scale equivalents for grades 7 through 12.
Move to approve. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
J, discussion and possible action regarding acceptance of the 21-22 audit.
And so I would like you to table this, if you would. We'll have it next month. With the change in our meeting, there was no way that it was going to be ready a week early.
Motion to table
it? Just die. Not a
motion.
Yeah.
Okay, no motion on item J.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So future items will be that, right?
Mm-hmm. I'll add that.
The ESSER 3 plan. I never know if I'm saying that right. The annual reorganization meeting, the policy on the student medical administration.
Yep.
Anything else? No. Okay. Any other questions?
Oh, I had a quick one. What are we paying our substitute teachers per day?
We don't have subs.
We don't.
Oh, wait. We do have a rate published, Jason. Are you applying?
No. Rumor is Herlong's paying $300 a day. I don't understand how they're doing it.
Used to be 96. I don't know what it is.
Shelly Marcotte said they're paying $300 just to get teachers there. And then she wanted me to ask next school board meeting, well, what are you guys paying? I said, I guarantee you it's not $300.
No, I guarantee you. And we moved ours up higher than other districts and will pay their round trip gas mileage from wherever they're coming to try to incent people from Susanville or even Reno to come, because we have a definite problem of not being able to get people. I'm going to open my folder here and look it up because I don't have it memorized.
Okay. A teacher had asked, and I figured I'd try to find out.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I figured. That, okay.
Misty and I were in 4-5 today. So.
Okay. I will adjourn at 6:33. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. And Jason, if you wait a minute, I'll give you that straight answer, okay?
Oh, shoot, no problem. I was going to say you could tell.